as much of an exposure to the concept of Karbanos as a whole, and the Karban Pesach, particularly at this time of year, has extra resonance for us now. Today is not yet Erev Pesach, it's not the time of the Karban Pesach, but we want to go into that day with as much of an understanding as possible. So this whole sugya that we've been trying to understand about the relationship between Karban Pesach and Matzah and Maror is significant on an additional level when we keep all that in mind. And we started to discuss yesterday that the pasuk that the Gemara quotes is a pasuk from Pesach Sheni, the pasuk that connects Matzah and Maror and the Karban Pesach. And the question of why that is, or should the gears be changed, when there is a pasuk in Parshas Bo, which also would seem to be an even better candidate to discuss in order to make the point. So we talked a little bit about that yesterday. There is an essay about this in the Imre Baruch Haggadah. So a minute ago we mentioned the Imre Baruch and Vayikra, authored by a friend of Imre Baruch Simon. It just came out this week with his Imre Baruch Haggadah, and he has an essay about this over there. And he quotes, this is something that very much flows from what we were just talking about, he quotes Rav Yeshua of Belz, who says that the reason we quote a poet, the reason the Gemara invokes a pasuk and the Haggadah invokes a pasuk from Pesach Sheni rather than from Pesach Rishon, is because that is to emphasize our tefillah here. And that the whole idea of a zecher l'neis, like we were discussing yesterday, is a keyum really in a different halacha, and the notion of tzion and dorishlo, that we want to try to show our longing for tzion, and how we want to return, and therefore we have the notion of the zecher l'mikdash as an expression of that, so a form of tefillah, like we talked about in the context of Krishna Manisa, that we publicize miracles as a form of tefillah, so that we should merit to have more miracles, and we remember the Beis HaMikdash as something that will keep us connected to the Shechina, to the Gula, and the hope that it will therefore happen more quickly. So the notion of Zechel HaMikdash as a tefillah is emphasized dafka by picking the concept of Pesach Sheni as the place to look at, because that's our way of saying that even this year, even after we miss Pesach, we hope that there'll still be an opportunity for Pesach Sheni, that we should be able to reconnect with that experience even then. So that kind of longing, saying, okay, we're in Galus right now, and we don't have the first Pesach, but maybe the Mashiach will come at any moment, and maybe we'll have a Gula, we'll be able to at least do Pesach Sheni. So it conveys that theme of longing in an even more powerful way. Now, you could ask, as we discussed this there, and we mentioned yesterday, that al pi halacha, we don't necessarily assume that that's true, that the idea of Pesach Sheni is that the individual is able to bring a Karban Pesach a month later if Klal Yisrael did bring it on its original date. So if all of Klal Yisrael is not bringing on the original date, like you said yesterday, so then Pesach Sheni is not going to work for Klal Yisrael as a whole. It only works for individuals. So theoretically, it doesn't really seem to comport this idea with the halacha as we mentioned it. But he notes that the question was raised, and that there is a shrika in Yerushalmi that even the tzibur has a Karban Pesach. So this tefillah is a leva to that shrika. Maybe it's even more of an expression of longing. So we're longing for that reality, and we're longing even for an opinion that's not necessarily the accepted opinion of whatever connection that we can find to our hope for a greater connection and a greater sanctity is one that we are expressing here and asking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to recognize. So that's one approach really off the Derech HaDrush, why this pasuk is chosen. There are other explanations as well, as I discussed there too, the tshuva of the Avni Nezer. Rabbi Nezer discusses that it's true that the relationship between the Karban Pesach and the other elements that are the Hashir and the Pisca, the Matzah and the Maror, is the same whether it's Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni. that for sure the Karbanos are the same. Pesach Sheni is the makeup for Pesach Rishon. So the rules of the Karbanos are the same. But the language of the Pasuk, we have to look to the Pasuk in Pesach Sheni, because the language of the Pasuk in Bo, talking about Pesach Rishon, is not so clear that it means that you should have them together. So if we're trying to make the point of Hillel that they should all be eaten together, so the language of the Pasuk in Parshas, in the context of Pesach Sheni, is Al, which we understand to mean in. So there we have the Pesach together with the Matzah and the Marah. But the language in Parshas Bo, so there it has the Matzah with the Vav. So it could be that Matzah and Marah could have been separate, because we don't know that Vav and that necessarily means together. It could mean one after the other. So to understand that they mean it to be together, so that we have to look to the context of Pesach Sheni, and that reflects back on Pesach Rishon, and that tells us how Pesach Rishon manifests. So that then brings up this whole discussion that we started to have yesterday, the idea of Maror as really being kind of secondary to Korban Pesach, and as Matzah in that context also being secondary to Korban Pesach. So as we mentioned, there is a whole approach among many Achronim that says that Matzah actually is two mitzvot on Pesach night. It has a role as Hechsher de Pesach, and it also has a role as its own mitzvah from the language of the Pasuk Erev Tov L'Matzos, as the Gemara and Daf Kuf Chaf identifies. So one approach is to say that that Pasuk is just there to tell us that the mitzvah continues to apply even without the Korban Pesach, but many of the Achronim understood that it's actually two mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Matzah for the Korban Pesach, and a mitzvah of Matzah in and of itself. But it prompts the question that how do we relate to the obligation of Kedayis? So Kedayis is for the mitzvah of Achila. So is there an obligation of Kedayis for Mar? I would say for Mar historically. So as we discussed a little bit yesterday, the Rush understands that there is an obligation of Kedayis for Mar from the fact that the Bracha talks about Achila, how Achila of Mar. And the Shagasayi gets very upset about this, because says, why do I have to look to the Pasuk and the formulation, why do I have to look to the Bracha, the formulation of the Bracha of Achila Mara? I can look to the Pasuk, that the Pasuk talks about Achila in the context of Korban Pesach. Yes, but we're assuming that it connects Pesach, Matzah, and Mara, and therefore the Achila should be relevant to all of them. So therefore we should know from the Torah itself that there's an obligation of Achila for Mara, and that therefore it has to be a Kedayis. So why do we have to look for the Bracha? So this is something that Chaim Brisker discusses and many others discuss, and they suggest that in the context of the Pasuk, so Maror is there as something that is secondary to Korban Pesach. So we don't necessarily know that the obligation of Achila goes on the Maror itself. So we need the Bracha to tell us either that the Drabanan has the requirement of Kedayis, and then the Drabanan is a different form than Mara was in the original Torah context, or maybe it works backwards to tell us that Chazal did this because even by Korban Pesach it was a Kedayis of Mara, but we need to be taught that because it's not something that we necessarily could have interpreted from the Pasuk itself. So that's prompts this whole discussion of how exactly to look to Mara to see it as something that is independent or something that has a role only in its connection to the Korban Pesach, and whether that would have required Achila or not. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot indicates that he's not counting Mara by itself, because it is something that is there specifically in its association with the Korban Pesach. And in the Sefer Maisa Nisan, there's a whole back and forth about this. The Maisa Nisan is a Sefer published by the Rambam son, and Ravan Ben Rambam, where he is responding to criticisms by Daniel Hababli on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot. So Daniel Hababli maintained that Moreh really is a separate mitzvah, and Ravan Ben Rambam responds to it in that Sefer. So it's a part of a whole discussion of how exactly to relate to Marer, but it's still possible that Marer could be a obligation of Achila, even if it is something which is there to be supportive of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So it does still bring up this whole question of whether there's a requirement of Kezias for Matzah and Marer, really both of them in that context. Or are they Kafel to Korban Pesach that they don't even require their own Achila? So this is something that was also discussed in the Tshuva of the Avnei Nezer. And the question comes up, practically speaking, when it comes to, say, Matzah. So what if you don't have a Kezias of Matzah? Let's say you have less than a Kezias of Matzah. That's all you have. So is it kedai to eat that half kedaius? Or do we say no, but if it's less than a kedaius, then it doesn't count for anything? So this is a machlokus in general, because as we mentioned in the context of chametz, if you recall from the earlier part of the year, that when it comes to isurim, so the Gemara says that even though a punishment only kicks in at a kezias, you have to have a kezias to be considered eating, but still there's a prohibition to have any amount. That's the prohibition of chatzi shir asur mehatar. So many achronim ask, and this Avnei Nezer is prominent in this discussion, is that also true by mitzvos? Do we say that when it comes to an Avera, it only counts, so to speak, as far as the punishment at a certain threshold, but it's still bad to do less? So do we say the same thing when it comes to mitzvot, that it only counts, so to speak, at a certain threshold, the only yotzei the mitzvah at a certain point, but it's still a good thing to do less, still a meaningful good thing? So that question could depend on how you understand the prohibition of chatzi shir. Now, the Gemara says that chatzi shir is prohibited because of a svara, where it has both a pasuk and a svara, but the svara is kevan de chazi l'tzrufe yisura ka'achil, that since it's possible to combine this with more, so there is an issue here. In other words, you're going to have half a kedayas of pork, and you might think that's okay, and the Gemara says, no, it's not okay, because it can be combined with another half kedayas of pork, and that will create a full issur that you'll be chayev malchus for in that case. So what does that mean? In that language there of it could be combined some more, and that will get you in trouble. How do you understand that? Harry?
Well, so by my answer, you would say that independent from like a merit of the small act itself is nothing inherently wrong, but it's only when it starts with other pieces that problematic. You could say conversely that when it comes to eating lots of lots and share, not only is it the start of it significant, but if it happens to be added to anything, you don't have anything to add, well then that's not worthwhile.
Okay, so that's an interesting application. I'll just say it a little bit differently, but tell me if I'm understanding you correctly. That this idea of chazin and trufe, there are two major paths to understand it. And he may just have elements of both, but tell me if I'm understanding you correctly. There are two major paths. That one path is to say that it sounds like a siyag. That it sounds like this is a safeguard. Basically what you would call the potato chips are. And as they said about the potato chips, you can't have just one. So you'll have one, you're going to come to have more. So too, if the Avera really is fully violated once it hits the Kezias, so maybe we could have thought that Thus, Nekadayis actually doesn't constitute the Avera. The Avera is Afila, and Afila means Nekadayis, and less than that doesn't actually constitute the Avera itself. But, like potato chips, you're not going to be able to stop. So if you're going to have a little bit of a Kedayis, then you're going to keep going. So, or the strong fear, you'll keep going. So therefore, we prohibit any of them. And maybe you'll say, well, okay, but that sounds like an Issa Drabana. And indeed, there's a machlokus in the Gemara, and that's Reish Lakish's opinion of Chatzi Shir Golmi and Issa Drabana. But we paskel like Rabbi Yochanan, that Chatzi Shir Asim and Asoru. So does it still make sense to say that it's a safeguard? So what do we know from any discussions this year? That yes, it could be, right? There is such a thing as a safeguard in the Torah. We saw that in the context of Bayura Bayumase, according to the Ram, that that's something which is a din minat Torah to protect us from violating the issur of eating chametz. So maybe Chatzi Shir also is there to prevent us from eating the whole amount. So many understand that to be that that's the nature of what's going on. The Chatzi Shir is the Siag Minhat Torah. And that therefore they go further and they say that when it's impossible to finish a whole shir, then the issur wouldn't apply. Which is a big chiddush that we could apply the reasoning or the logic of the gzeira to a mitzvah in our Torah, even if that's the real tam behind it. But the idea that we can use that to make halachic implications is a pretty big chiddush. But many, many achronim feel this way. So, for example, in the case of chametz, the Rambam brings his own source, the issur of eating any little drop of chametz. And all the commentaries say, why are you talking about that? In general, by every issur, there is a notion of chatzi shir. So some suggest that it's there because the last minute of Pesach. That maybe the last minute of Pesach, you won't be able to finish the whole shir. And the Gezeira of Minhag Torah of Chatzi Shir won't apply. So to tell us that Chametz is always Aser, you need an additional source to say that. So that sounds like an unusual idea. It sounds like it comes maybe from the Farfetch'd Rav. But it happens to be that at least four of our biggest Achronim say that. That is found in the Shagas Aryeh, and Yitzkida Eger, and the Noda Yehuda, and the Chassam Sofer. So four of the biggest classical Achronim all have that approach, that Chatzi Shir is a Siag Min HaTorah, and if it's impossible to finish, so then it wouldn't apply. So Ari, you said something similar here, that if you don't have the whole Shir of Masa, so there's not Shaykh to finish, so it wouldn't apply there either, right? Was that correct? So what's a little bit surprising, though, is that, yes, that's true. If you don't have it, you can't finish it. But it wouldn't be obvious to me that you can apply this logic to positive mitzvot at all. Because you would say that when you have an aveira, okay, we're afraid you're going to keep going. But when it comes to a mitzvah, you don't have that fear factor. Now, what are we talking about, that the same idea that A may lead to B doesn't seem to apply, unless you want to say that it does. You know, maybe it's inspiring, that maybe we do have such a view that good things also a little bit takes you further and take a step in the right direction, and maybe that should also be recognized. Okay, once Darshan did that, was also the idea of Shabbat HaGadol, that first steps towards Gedula is what brings us further along the path. And I think it was one year when Shabbos HaGadol fell out in Parshas Tzav, and Tzav is where the pasuk that the Gemara quotes the Chatzi Shir can be found. So it was a drasha for that parsha. But the idea that maybe a little bit, even in good things, can take us on a better path, maybe should be also applicable. But on the surface, it seems like if it's a siag, that it doesn't really flip as well. It doesn't really invert as well to positive mitzvot. But there's another way to say it, that it could be that Chazal Shufei is not a siag. It's not saying that, oh, we're afraid you'll keep going and therefore it's prohibited. But rather, it's more of an indication. What we call in Lamdisha terms a simen rather than a sipa. That it's an indication of something. That if you have a substance which the Torah says, eat enough of this substance and you're going to get in trouble, what does that show you? It shows you that this is a bad substance. And that it's not always significant. If you're having a tiny amount, it's not meaningful. But if you have enough, it's going to be an avera, and that shows you the whole thing is bad. Just not necessarily punishable. So for punishment, we always need something concrete and significant. But even below a punishable threshold, it's still bad. And maybe that's the point of Chazlut Trufe. So you have to translate the word differently. It doesn't, when it says Chazlut Trufe, Yisura Ka'achel, it doesn't mean that, oh, because this could turn into a full Aveira, don't do it because it's dangerous. It means that the fact that it's punishable at a certain threshold shows you it's a bad thing. So don't get involved at all. So that kind of logic, that does flip. So they were saying that, listen, if the Torah says eat matzah, and it says that if you eat a kezias of matzah, you are credited, so to speak, with a mitzvah. So what does that tell us about matzah? It tells us that it's a good thing. And therefore, ideally, you'll have your kezias of matzah. But if you can't, it's still good to have some, because this is something that has positivity to it, and ultimately is on the path to a full mitzvah. And it's the inverse of chametz, for example, where it has negativity to it, and if it was a kezias, there would be a onesh of kares associated with it. So that's a discussion in general about hasishir by mitzvot, and that's a reason to assign a value to a hasishir, even if it's not the full quantity of the mitzvah. So Avi Nezer talks about this in the Tshuva, and he has some additional angles, and he says, first of all, we're talking about, in our sugi here, the value of a zecher. So that also could have significance. So we could say that when we don't find we're able to do a mitzvah, so to have some kind of a zecher to it is still valuable. So maybe that's also the case, that if you don't have the full kezias of matzah, but have less than the kezias of matzah is a zecher to the matzah. So it's still worth it in order to keep it alive. It's a little bit of a tricky point because that's, in general, a subtle discussion in halacha. And it takes a little bit of judgment. It comes up in a lot of practical situations. And when you're not able to do the full mitzvah, so is it kedai to do a partial version or is it perhaps dangerous? Because the Gemara says in Sukkah that if you don't have an esrog, that you shouldn't say, okay, well, I don't have any esrogim, I might as well take an orange or an apple or something else, and that will replace the esrog is better than nothing. So the Gemara there suggests not better than nothing, because that could confuse people. So then the next year will think, okay, we can take an apple now, we can take an orange now, because that we saw last year. So maybe it's better just to make it clear that, sorry, we don't have any esrogim this year, and not even try, because that could create a misleading message for the future. So it takes a little bit of judgment to know when we think that's a concern, and when we're coming at it from the other way and saying, no, it's clear that this isn't a full mitzvah, but it's something that keeps the notion alive, it's something that keeps the mitzvah on our minds, and it's going to be a bridge to a time when we'll be able to fulfill it fully. So sometimes we go one way, sometimes we go the other way. It takes a little bit of judgment to assess whether it's in one category or the other. But that's a possible logic here also, that if you have half a kezias of matzah, so you might as well eat that, because that's going to be a zecher to the mitzvah of matzah. But what the Avnei Yehuda also discusses in this tshuva is that maybe we see there's a whole other element why it's kezias to have less than a kezias of matzah, because it could be that part of the mitzvah of matzah is this role of hechsher d'pitzva, like mara. And maybe it didn't require a kezias in that context, that maybe there was a whole combined achila of the carbon pesach and the matzah and the marah, and maybe the matzah and the marah in that picture don't need to have a kezias for that purpose. So it could be that even having less than a kezias of matzah, even it's certainly not what you're supposed to do if you have enough matzah, then certainly you're supposed to have more, and it certainly won't be a fulfillment of Erech Tochel Matzah, especially if you see that as a separate idea. But it could be that as a part of the Korban Pesach that we're trying to remember and trying to commemorate, that maybe even the less than a kezias might be productive for that purpose. So that's a part of a broader discussion. So still more to say about this whole relationship about the Korban Pesach and Matzah and Mor, and how they all come together. So we'll have to continue. So Be'ezus Hashem, on Sunday, we will come back to this. As you read Vayikra the Shabbos, you can keep in mind the importance of trying to understand the messages of the Korbanos, whether they are the Korbanos in Parshas Vayikra or the Korban Pesach. And Be'ezus Hashem, on Sunday, we will pick up with this and try to understand it a little bit more. I wish you all a wonderful Shabbos. It should be a meaningful, great Shabbos HaGadol. The status is a little bit confused this year because it's not the Shabbos before Pesach, but it's when most of the drashas are happening, because actual Shabbos before Pesach doesn't leave us any time. So on some level, it's a Chati Shira Shabbos HaGadol, but it should be a great Shabbos one way or another, and should stay safe and healthy, and I look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Thank you,
Thank you. Have a great Shabbos.